we've waited for has come to pass. See what the Lord. We've waited for it's come to pass. See what the Lord has done. Father, we give you praise. Manifest your glory in the midst of your people. Your word says, where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst of them. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where your word is, there is liberty. Where your life is, there is liberty. We thank you that you are here in your spirit, in your word, in your life, for it's all truth, and your truth has made us free. We give you praise, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I celebrate every one of you today in the Lord, thanking God for his manifold blessings bestowed upon us as his people. We've been on this journey together in this feast called the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. And in it, God has been speaking to us about us tabernacling with him and him with us. And yesterday we explored the process in which this abiding takes place. And it tells us that the ultimate goal of that abiding is our fruitfulness. Do you remember that? Yeah. God wants you and I to be fruitful. He doesn't want us barren or unfruitful. He wants us to be fruitful. And he says to us in his word that for that to happen, we have to abide in him and he in us for that fruitfulness to take place. And that when fruitfulness is not there, we get cut all the way back. Not just trimmed, cut all the way. And are cast away, withered, and burnt up. It says all of that in verse 6 of John 15. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. Notice he always says we are the branch. He says as a branch, meaning that you were part of him. You were part, you were attached, but for whatever reason, you did not accept the cleansing of God, which he has proclaimed into the lives of his people. You are cleansed by the words that I've spoken unto you. And because you did not allow that cleansing, and primarily cleansing is the cleansing of everything that allows bitterness and strife in our lives. Everything that makes you feel unloved, unaccepted. If you continue with the mindset of I am not accepted, I am not loved, and you are bitter towards other people, unforgiving towards other people, because the Word of God says, if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. And that is a very important aspect of our connectivity with God. So much so that when he taught us how to pray, his disciples kept on asking him, teach us how to pray. Because this abiding grace is connected to your ability to receive answered prayers. He said, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. Matthew chapter 6. Yeah? Forgive us our trespasses as you forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And then he goes back. Take me to Matthew 6. And hear these statements of the Lord. He goes back to the very beginning. No, he goes back to right there in the middle about forgiveness. Praise the Lord. Started from verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us or our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. For if ye what? Forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So if you are not forgiven, you are carrying the load of sin. Hello? You're carrying sin around. Sin is supposed to be forgiven. But since you have not forgiven, because of whatever the reasons are, you also will not be forgiven. Meaning then that the word of God that you are called to obey, if you love me, you will do what? Keep my commandments. And since you did not obey that, you have not expressed love towards God, and therefore you cannot be part of God. Oh, Himalato Shikaya. God is what? Love. And God is only going to connect back to love. If it is not of love, it will not be of faith. Praise the Lord. Are we together? I want us to get this, because God is calling us as his body to the place of loving each other, loving God, loving people. Which means the devil is going to make certain that people come and rob you the wrong way, do you wrong, act wrongly around you, say the wrong things around you. And to you. And what are you going to do then? Hate? Become bitter? Become unforgiven? He says, if you don't forgive, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. In Mark 11, the Lord begins to teach. And he says, have God's kind of faith, or have faith in God. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you have received them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. What did he say? And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have ought against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. He's talking about faith. And all of a sudden he says, let me tell you, no matter how much faith you've got, if there's unforgiveness, your goose is cooked. He says, if you are bringing a gift to God, and one of the key things about the Feast of Tabernacles is that it's set up for us to bring gifts to God. He says, when you come bringing that gift and you remember that you've got an issue with a brother, he says, leave your gift there. Isn't God smart? Because he knows if you take your gift with you, you're not coming back. Leave it there. Go deal with your brother. Get reconciled to him. Then come back. Hallelujah. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way first. Be reconciled to thy brother. And then come and offer thy gift. What is God saying to us? He's saying that you can become the devil's agent when you allow unforgiveness and do not allow the word of God to cleanse you. Unforgiveness will separate you from God. Hello? Unforgiveness will separate you from God. He tells a story about two men that owed the king. One owed, let's say, he owed this friend or person 50 bucks. But he owed the king 100,000. And he couldn't pay. And he comes to the king and says, give me some more time. The king looks at him and says, you know what? Just go. Sir, what do you mean just go? I mean, go. I don't understand, sir. What do you mean just go? You're forgiven. The debt is canceled. Go. Just go. I know you've been trying. Just go. So he left. And then he sees the guy that owes him 50 bucks and says, hey, man, come here. I see you every time you're running, you're ducking. Every time I spot you, shoom, you're going all over the place. Today I catch you. Right here. I'm not holding you in your elbow this time. Because every other time I held you at your elbow, you escaped. This time, I'm grabbing you right here. You're going to pay me today. Please, just forgive me. Just give me some time. I know I've not done right. No. My 50 bucks today. I can't pay you yet. He drags a guy and throws him in jail. And the news gets to the king. You know that guy that's been jumping around celebrating that you forgave him? All those thousands. Yeah. You won't believe what he's doing now. What did he do? Some poor guy, owes him $50. Do you know where the guy is now? He's in jail. He's locked the guy up. You're kidding me? No, you won't do that. O king, do you think I'll come and lie to you? Yeah, I know you won't dare come lie to me like that. But I can't. You're not serious. I'm telling you. Okay, go find him and bring him. The guy comes back and says, O king, O majestic, magnificent, awesome, so good, goody goody king. Oh, I celebrate you. You are wonderful. Oh, hallelujah. King says, is it true what I'm hearing? There's some guy. What is his name again? Josiah. Oh, Josiah. Do you know a guy called Josiah? Yes, O king. Oh, where's Josiah now? Don't mind that guy. He's in jail. He's in jail. What do you mean he's in jail? What did he do? Would you believe it? For 10 years, this guy has been owing me. And he keeps on docking all over the place. Finally, today I caught him. I caught that guy. And he's in jail now. He's in jail. What's the guy's name again? Josiah? Oh, yeah. Josiah. The king says, thou wicked servant, I forgive thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee. The Bible says, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Hey, wait a minute. I thought he forgave him all of that already. No, all of it was restored. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That every sin God has forgiven you, cleansed you of. Every sin you committed. That all of that sin rushes back. I thought God removes your sin as far as the east from the west and God forgets it. Since you did not forget other people's sins, you have sown unforgiveness, you will reap the harvest of unforgiveness. For as you forgive others, so shall you be forgiven. The word of God says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men bring into your bosom. Oh, we use that particular verse in Luke to talk about giving, as in giving of finances. And that will be true. The principle goes and covers all of that. But when you read Luke chapter 6, you'll find out that the context that led to that statement of giving had to do with forgiveness. So if we were to go a few verses up, you'll see it. It had to do with forgiveness. The same way you measure forgiveness to others, that's how it will be measured back to you. And what is the point? The point is, if you wait for people to come and ask you for forgiveness before you forgive them, that's how God is going to deal with you. You have to ask for forgiveness first, then He will forgive you. But if you have the habit of forgiving people even before they mess up with you, God says, just the same way, you are dealing with people by forgiving them even before they repented, they came and apologized, you forgave them anyway. He says, that's how I'm going to forgive you. You know there are some people that are going to disappoint you. You just know it. You know they're going to do you wrong. Have you ever seen people like that? Known people like that? Okay. How do you deal with that person? Forgive them. Before they blow it. I don't know how many times people come and say to me, please forgive me for what I did. I say, exactly for what? You know who that time? Come on. That was long addressed. that's been addressed a long time ago. I'm not even thinking about it. If you have to remember, you have this good memory of what people did and said, you're positioning yourself in the place of unforgiveness. And we need to always check and recheck ourselves. I had to do that a few months ago with somebody who'd done something really bad, you know. Others have done the same thing, but this particular person did it in a vicious way to really hurt, lived a lie, and I knew it from day one, but for some reason I could not really connect. And I said to the Lord, I said, I don't understand this. I believe I've forgiven this person. But why is it that I'm not able to connect? I said, Lord, cleanse me. Let your word cleanse me. So that when I think about this person, I don't see betrayal. Because that's all I'm seeing right now, and this is not right. This is not what you want for me. And I laid it to rest. And out of the blue one day, I saw this individual, and I was so excited to see them. I was so happy to see them. And guess what? I was not just so happy to see them. I was happy that I was happy to see them because I knew that the work of grace had taken place. This was authentic. Amen? That's how we need to deal with people. Be authentic for yourself. Just love. Forgive. Because forgiveness is forgiven. Amen? It is for the given. And you've got to give it. And that which you're given is for somebody. So it is forgiveness. Hallelujah. And when you give it, you are sowing it. And that cleansing cleanses you from all sin and all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. So the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 6, I'll take it off from verse 30. It says, give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy good, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Wow. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is what? Merciful. Extend mercy. Give it. It says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be what? Forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, the next statement is crucial, because now he says, in essence, that when we are not acting from the realm of mercy, we become blind. And guess what the Lord says? He says, I can do nothing except what I see the Father doing. So if you are blind, you can't see what the Father is doing. So why do I want somebody to keep me in the state of blindness? Because I chose bitterness, unforgiveness, hate. And lest I miss it, apathy. You see, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is apathy, where you don't care. It's none of your concern. I'm not going to be involved, but you should. If you see your brother sinning, do everything to make him restored. And don't be arrogant, because you might be caught up in the same mess. Have you seen people that will judge you about this or that, and they're doing the same thing, and they don't see it? They have one rule for me and one rule for you. That's how so many in the world operate. And unfortunately, it happens in the church. I used to think I was the only one who had experienced it, and I've been saying it for I don't know how many years, close to 40 years. The meanest people I met in church. And I happened to be listening this morning to something. It was yesterday. And because I watch Call to Victory every morning as often as I can to be blessed by the word of the Lord. And right after Call to Victory comes Joyce Myers. And Joyce Myers was talking about, it was yesterday. She said, "I met the meanest people in church." I said, "Yeah, you too?" People are going to hurt you, but don't you hurt yourself. Amen? You know me, once in a while I'll go gross on you. So this is my gross for today. Don't let people spit on you and you lick the spit. That's what unforgiveness is. That they hurt you does not mean you embrace it. Jesus, our Lord, says in John 15, let's go back there. In John 15, we talked about this. I just want to recap some of the things, and then I'll go further. In John 15, he tells us, "If you keep my commandments..." Actually, let me take it for verse 9 first. "As the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love." And one of the commandments very clearly is this. It's connected to this forgiveness issue. Now, when the Lord is asked about what the greatest commandments were, he reduces it to two, all of the commandments. Love God. And then he said the second is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. So in essence, loving God, loving others, loving you is what the commandment is. Do unto others as you want them to do to you. Do unto others as you want to be addressed. If you dishonor people, you are sowing into dishonor. You know, people are funny. Once, I was dealing with a young man that was just messing up royally, flirting every which way he could flirt. And I said to him, you go with this young lady, you mess with them, and you dump them. And you go with that one, and you dump them. And you go with that one, and dump them. You go with that one, and you dump them. Excuse me, you have a daughter? Yeah, what about it? How would you like somebody to come mess around with your daughter? Oh, I'll kill them. Oh, I say, oh, you kill them. You're upset about it, but you are going about deflowering other people's daughters. How is it that you want to protect yours but abuse others? Never thought about it. Okay, think about it now and stop it. You know, people just act crazy. As long as it's not affecting them right now, they think they can do whatever it is they want to do. No, you can't just do whatever it is you want to do. If it is not going to be a blessing, don't do it. Hallelujah. That is not love. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide. You shall abide. You shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. How has he loved us? Did he love you partially? All the way? All the way to Calvary, he went for me. He went all the way to the cross, died for you and I, went to the very depths of hell and fought for our total deliverance, rose again from the dead, ascended into the heavens and seated at the right hand of the Father. And he is still committed to making certain that you and I make it, knowing full well that now and then we are going to trip and fall flat on our face. But his blood is still available to cleanse us. Why is it that we are not willing and ready to forgive others? He says, the way I love you, love your neighbor. Love your wife. Love your husband. Love your children. Hallelujah. You can be the prime minister, the president, the whatever it is that you are, big shot, pastor, bishop, apostle, whatever. Tell you what, you can be all of that to the rest of the world, but when you get to your house, you better take that prime minister hat off, because there's a woman in there that will show you Pepe. Will show you, hey, a bus man over there, but in here, I'm the neck that will turn the head. Do you understand what I'm talking? And if you've not learned how to forgive, you're done. whether you're male or female, you've got to walk in love. Capish? Okay, let's keep on going. So we are continuing in His word. We are continuing in His love. This is how He abides with us. Now, the Gospel of John chapter 14. Let's look at that real quickly as we begin to wrap. John 14, beginning to read from verse 10. The word of God says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?" That's the same thing like abide in me and I'll abide in you. He says, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, watch this. I speak not of myself. I speak this because I am in partnership. I've illustrated it this way many times. If this is the Father and this is the Son, the only way they can both be in each other is when they link up. Now, Father is in the Son. Zoom in so people can see it right there. And the Son is in the Father. You see that? That means we are linked. We're connected. We're into each other. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. He says, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father, watch this, that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Where did works come from? We're talking about the Word. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, I respect it to be He speaketh. But He says He doeth the works. Because the words is what God uses. So in the partnership, the love partnership, as the Father loves me, so He's loved you. In the partnership, that's where miracles are going to start happening. Because my words and the words of God become the same. Oh, wow. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very what? Work's sake. The fact that you're saying something happening is because I and the Father are in connection. We're connected. He's in me, I'm in Him. Verily, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do. The works that I do, what are you talking about? You just told me the Father is doing the works. Now, why are you saying the works that I do, shall he do also? Because the fact is, God wants us to be so connected that there is no separation between what he's doing and what I am doing. There is no separation. God's actions become my actions. And the only way that is happening is because I am disciplined in love. I have become grafted. And my DNA is changed. Hallelujah. This is what's going to happen. Why? Because I go unto my Father. I go unto my Father. Why is it that I go unto my Father? Because I obeyed my Father's instruction. I accomplished what he sent me to do. And therefore, I am able to have access. Access is granted because of the work that the Lord Jesus Christ did by his shed blood. Amen? And guess what he says? He's saying, this might blow some people's, well, let me not say it that way. He's saying that just as he sacrificed in his love to see people's lives changed, that he's expecting the same of me. Sacrifice. Go all the way. Love people all the way. Go the distance. That's what he's asking of you and I. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, when you are linked up like this, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And what is the point here? He's already told you that he cannot do anything except what he sees the Father doing. It was not the Father who was saying to that blind man in John 9, go wash your face in the pool Siloam. Jesus was the one. It was not the Father who was putting the mud in his face and sending him out. Jesus was doing that. But while he was doing that, he was saying to us that that is what he saw the Father doing. And basically, he was restating what he saw the Father doing. So that's how it is the Father who's doing the works. The Father is doing the works because the Father is demonstrating what he needs to do. And Jesus, seeing, imitates. He imitates. So he says, be imitators of me as I imitate the Lord. God wants us to be perfect imitators of him. Hallelujah. But the only way we're going to be able to imitate him is when we are not blind. Have you heard somebody say, I'm blind with rage? When we allow our emotions to run crazy, it blinds us. And we don't know what we are doing. But here, he says, whatever it is you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He's ascended. Now he's doing something. Now I do something based on what I see him doing, based on what I hear him saying. So my greatest prayer is getting to know what the Father's mind is on an issue. I can boldly say to you that the answers to prayers, I've prayed lots of prayers, confessed lots of things, but the only ones that I can boldly say worked were the ones where I heard and I knew because I saw. Now, God's mercy allows me to get some stuff. When he looks at me and says, this boy, he's not going to get it. Just give it to him. Let him go. But when he wants me trained, he will hold it back. You got to learn this lesson. And if I'm not seeing, I must ask myself, God, what is it that's causing me to be blind? Sometimes it's unforgiveness. Sometimes it's greed. Covetousness. As it was with Balaam, the prophet, and couldn't see the angel. The donkey saw the angel. The donkey saw the angel because the donkey, remember what the donkey said? Have I ever done anything to deserve all this beating? Huh? Tell me, what did I do? The anointing that was on the man was on his donkey. And that didn't change. And so the donkey could see the angel. But the man who was full of greed, and he's full of greed, he's going to go curse people that he did not have any battles with. Huh? Why will you go curse people? You got to develop some hate, you know, to be able to successfully curse them. We embrace a lot of things. We borrow other people's problems and don't see. And God is saying to us, you know what? You need to see if you're going to be able to do greater works. Because I'm going to show it to you. Hallelujah. I'm going to show it to you. So, John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Do you love the Lord? What is his commandment? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 20. Watch the Lord. He says, at that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now, it's no longer just the two of us. No. Now, it's the three of us. I am in you, and you are there. And wait a minute, how is it that we all three can be together when you are able to slide in between these two and link up? All of a sudden, you are linked into the link. And the Lord is saying, this three-part cord, this is going to hold. When you love me and you love people, it means that you've embraced the love that I have shed abroad in your heart. Amen. We are not capable of loving people like that without God working in us. My capacity to love is only possible because of his love. May I say that there are all kinds of prayers that we can pray. But if we reduce it to the common factor, the one prayer that every one of us should be able to pray is this: help me, Lord, to walk in love. Huh? Because if I can pray that prayer and that prayer is answered, then help me walk in love will make me prosperous, because when I see a need, I'm able to demonstrate love towards it by giving. Praise the Lord. When somebody is hurting, I'm able to go there and be the conduit of comfort. I can be all things walking in love. When I'm walking in love, I will not defraud another person. That makes sense? Walking in love. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 21 says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will what? Manifest myself to him. I will manifest. That means I will take the veil off. The other day I was walking to a store, and while I was walking in, I started thinking about the word invisible. And as I thought about it, invisible. Something is invisible not because it is not there. It is invisible because it is not seen, but it is there. Make sense? So when God says, I'm going to manifest myself, remember, he's everywhere present. It means that whatever it is that causes him to hide, he peels it off. No man shall be able to see my glory and live. But when he unveils himself, it means that we have become so connected that he can't hurt me because I am the same as he is. That makes sense? And the only thing that makes that possible is love. So he's got to cause the love that he has shared in my heart to blossom, because there's no resistance to it. God help us all. Amen? We must grow in love. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I must grow in love. It goes on and says, Judas said unto him, not Iscariot. That's a different Judas. Iscariot is the one that betrayed him. And it's interesting that the scriptures will bring this to place, because it's trying to make a clear-cut difference. Judas is as Judah. Praise. Yes? It says there's a Judas or praise, but not the Iscariot. The Iscariot is the one that betrayed him. Betrayed him, and how did he betray him? He told the people that he was betraying him with, he said, the one that I kiss, that's the one. Huh? That is pretentious love. Are we together? We on the same page? And what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? My friend. Did he know that this is the person that's going to betray him? Absolutely. He told him, he said, whatever it is, you got to go do it quickly. And when the guy shows up, he says, my friend. Don't you know, Lord Jesus, this is the guy who's betraying you. He sold you out. No, he's my friend. He's helping me fulfill my purpose. This person has been assigned to me to fulfill my purpose. He says, not Iscariot, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, oh my Lord, how is it that you're going to manifest yourself to us and not to the rest of the world? I'll tell you how. If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. Why? Because he keeps my word. And we will. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. Because he loves me, he's keeping my words, he's continuing in my words, he's not offended in me, he's continuing. And we will come, and we'll make our abode. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine. Meaning, you're not keeping the words of my Father, but the Father which sent me. Ephesians chapter 1, and this is where we'll close for tonight. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning to read from verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. According as he hath what? Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and without blame before him in what? We were chosen even before the foundations of the world to be holy and without blame in him, in love. In essence, we've been chosen even before the foundation of the world to be in love. That's it. The ultimate purpose of God is to get us to love. That's it. That's it. The one assignment every single one of us has is to love. When we love, we'll preach the gospel. When we love, we will not judge other people and say, these people, they're so wicked, they're so bad, and so on and so forth. The Lord gives us an example. His prophet, Jonah. He says to Jonah, I want you to go over there to Nineveh. You must be kidding me. Get serious. Those guys, they belong to H-E double hockey sticks. I'm not going there. Yeah, that's where I want you to go. So the guy says, okay, you want me to go somewhere? I'm going to go somewhere. Gets into the boat and goes in a different direction. Going away. Further away. You think you're that smart, huh? Smart Alec, Jonah. Let me show you something. I'm in charge of these waters. So God blew on the water in turbulence. Everybody's throwing up. The people started losing their resources. They're dumping all of their wealth into the sea. And nothing is changing. And say, what's going on here? Jonah comes up and fesses up. And Jonah too. It's my fault. God asked me to go do something. And I didn't do it. Just threw me overboard. Maybe that's going to solve it. Throw him overboard, and a big fish comes, opens his mouth, grabs him. And he's so far from his destination, it takes 3 days. He finally gets The Bible tells us what he did. In the book of Jonah, let me just take you there real quickly and show you what happened. The Bible says, verse 9, let me take it from verse 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. Verse 9, I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And as soon as he says, I'm going to sacrifice with a voice of thanksgiving, and I'm going to honor God with my vows, God spoke to the fish. And the fish vomited Jonah upon the dry land. So he's upon the dry land now. He's still complaining about these people, but he goes at it. What should have taken him days? The guy, in one day, covers a whole city of Nineveh. Everybody hears about it. The king hears the proclamation of Jonah about the judgment that is going to come, and the king says, you know what? Everybody repent, including the cows. You cows, you're going to be holy this time. Hallelujah. Everybody repent. Nobody's eating around here. We've got to cry out to this God. Wow. Everybody repent. And guess what? Is Jonah happy? Jonah said, this is exactly what I said. I said it. He wasn't expecting them to change. But everybody's changing. So God taught him a lesson. Grows overnight a tree. And he's tabernacled under that tree. He's a baldy. God creates this amazing shade for him. And he's so excited about it. Goes to sleep, wakes up the next day. The tree is rotten. And he's very upset. What kind of whatever this is? Why are you teasing me? You gave me a nice tree, now the tree is gone. And God says, well, what are you upset about? Did you create a tree? No. Is it my choice? I give you a tree, I take the tree away. I created those people. Why are you upset about that? Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. What's your problem? And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons? That's a big city that he covered. Hallelujah. That cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. They don't know any better. Shouldn't I spare them? That's why I sent you here. And that's the same thing God is saying to us, to say to the people of the world. For the God of this world has blinded them that they will not behold. And we've got to go and preach the gospel. Before I came in tonight, I got a text from one of our crusades of how many people God healed, how many people came to salvation and deliverance. Every month there, lots of people come into salvation. They deserve to hear the word of the Lord. The world needs to hear the word. And everything within us should push towards that end. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Say with me, Father, I've heard your word. It is important for me to walk in love. I need help. I need help to love. Father, love through me. I want to be in total partnership with you. I want to be used by you to bring healing and deliverance to people all around the world. Bless me physically. Bless me financially. Bless me, O God, in my relationships. Let everything I do testify of your goodness. Let mercy flow through me like rivers. I bless your holy name, Most High God. Use my life. I surrender it to you. All that I have, I received from you. Open my eyes to see you clearly. Father, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said that you and him will come and make your abode in me. I declare now that this temple be readied to receive you. I receive you now by faith. Live your life through me in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise God. Now, to God be the glory. Amen. Well, tonight, let us honor God with our giving. He's promised us to give. That as we give, it will also be given to us. Let us walk in that love today. May God manifest the power of his love through us in our giving. And may he multiply our seed sown in Jesus' mighty name. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right. Let's do it. While we are honoring God with our giving, tomorrow is the 4th. It is the last day that we've stated that we're going to be having these meetings. But it is the 6th day. So there is one more day. But that one day that is left in the celebration of this feast is going to be on the 11th. That's a Wednesday. That Wednesday, the 11th, is going to be our day 7. Now, in the natural, there's a reason for it. And I was getting really hard on myself on it. And the Lord says, that's the way I want it. I said, what do you mean that's the way you want it? And he said to me, on the 11th day represents the day of Joseph. I said, what do you mean? He said, Joseph is the 11th son. And then he said, remember Joseph? I said, yeah. He was the dreamer, yes. He was the son of promise, yes. That was denied his number one place, yes. But I made it happen for him. I said, yes. He went through all of this stuff. I said, yes. He said, remember, it was during those 7 years that I made him become great. I want this feast on the 11th day. Wow. I said, God, when you think you've made a mistake, when you think you've blown it, he has his own agenda. He's telling his own story. So it is. On the 11th, hallelujah, that God is going to do something supernatural for every one of us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So tomorrow is going to be the last day, the 6th day. Then the 11th. Oh God, my Father. These were the generations of Jacob. Joseph. If Joseph was not in place, Israel will not exist. God is going to do something with us. Amen? Hallelujah. I thank him for every moment. And I celebrate his goodness towards us. Praise the Lord. And I'd like you to know also that this Sunday is Thanksgiving Sunday. There'll be no evening service, just the morning service. Your evening is free for you to do your celebrating with your families and enjoying the grace of God. Amen? So there's the morning service, and then there's going to be no evening service. And our next time together is going to be on what day? On Wednesday. Amen? Praise the Lord. Yes, Friday is leadership, prayer meeting. So leaders will be here together. Amen? And we will pray through for the work of God that he's establishing here. Amen? Hallelujah. And we'll pray about Thanksgiving service. We'll pray about the 11th and pray about the operation God gave to us. What is the name of that operation? Operation Full House. Every seat occupied. Okay, praise God. Amen. will be doing that too. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that your manifold blessings has been bestowed upon us. We are your people, called by you, ordained by you, called to be fruitful, to multiply. We are your people that you have declared that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply you. Let it be unto us now according to thy everlasting word. Let it be true in every area of our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us and made us a blessing. And we thank you, Lord, for our province. Lord, oh God, that you have established the leadership for this province for the years to come. And Lord, oh God, we bless everyone that has been elected and put into positions of authority. We bring them subject to the authority of your word. And we declare, oh God, that they will be true ministers of yours. In Jesus' name, we give you praise, Lord. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, thank God for